This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, and filling in this week for Mickey Loomis is Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel, along with his working group of Mike Parenton and Kai Harley. Mickey's still working, just can't step away for the show today. So I think it's your 10th season as you kind of lead college scouting. Is that correct?
That is correct. Year number 10.
So two straight wins, you know, you got a week off to get healthy. Just keep rolling with the changes inside the building and don't let the noise outside the building get in. Because, right? I mean, you're 4-7. It's been a heck of a 2 weeks, but you got to still work your way back into the conversation.
Yeah, you know, that's right. And look, the year hasn't gone the way we wanted it to go. You know, but that's just part of our league. You know, it's why everybody watches. It's unpredictable. The last 2 weeks have, been different. Dennis is, I would call him a good friend of mine, and I've known him for a long time, and, you know, wish him well. But on the other hand, Darren Rizzi, I hired Darren when I was a GM of the Dolphins out of Rhode Island to be our special teams coach. So I'm super fired up for Darren. He's done a heck of a job these last 2 weeks, brought in some and different thoughts and changed some things up. And, our coaches have took to it. Our players have obviously taken to it. And, it's a 1-0, you know, 1-0 week every week, you know, just prepare for this week. And I think, our players have really bought into the message that Darren's brought.
And I've probably talked to you about this before, but Darren wasn't the head coach that he is now. So Parcells was Miami. You were Miami. He started in Miami at 09 as just an assistant special teams and then became the special teams coordinator. Eventually, you and Bill moved on, but he stayed. And he went through Sparano, Todd Bowles, Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase, five coaches, two coaching midseason changes, and he emerges out of the tunnel. That, to me, tells you a lot about the man that, you know, most coaches clean house, right? But they kept Darren Rizzi.
Tells you everything. It tells you about his, number one, his knowledge for the game, his ability to build relationships with everybody in the building, not just the players. Darren's he's a real witty, smart. He's got street savvy. You know, he's blue collar, you can tell. He's family oriented. He's humble. You know, so all those are great traits. He's very collaborative in our process. We get a lot of credit for finding, you know, the Deontay Hardys and the Rashid Shaheeds and the JT Grays. And, well, I don't think he was around for JT, but certainly Deontay and Rashid, you know, he's a big part of that process. It's very collaborative. That process, you know, Darren's got a big part of it.
Man, so many things can get lost in the stats, with the day that Taysom had in the fourth quarter. I want to ask you quickly about Foster Moreau. No catches in the first half. In the third quarter, he's got a 2nd-and-8, plus 19. Another 2nd-and-8 from your own 36, plus 22. And then in the same drive, now you're into the fourth quarter, it's a 3rd-and-10. He really catches the ball for like a 6-yard gain. He does the final three. I mean, it makes it 4th-and-1. Maybe if it's 4th-and-3, maybe it's a different decision. But 4th-and-1, Taysom comes in, touchdown, 21-14. But, man, and this team on 3rd-and-10 plus has been a struggle, like it is for most teams. But, man, those catches by Foster Moreau get lost in the game book, but they were humongous.
They're huge. And, you know, he's a huge part of our football team. He came back off the injury that he had last year, and he was a new – you know, we got him last year. He was kind of new to the team. But this year, man, he took ownership of this football team right in training camp, right in the OTAs. He's a – and, you know, he is just the epitome of just a really good teammate. a true professional. He's got tremendous leadership, which really kind of gets hidden, you know, beyond, you know, with Double D and Kamara and McCoy and those guys. But he's a tremendous leader. He is the one that's going to say something if he sees something, which is exactly what you want. He's just a really good pro, and we're super glad to have him.
Don't know where you were, if you were still up in the booth or were on your way down. Take me through what you were watching with the Chase Young play. Now, again, you win the game, and if you lose the game, we don't talk about this like we do. But the play to me, he plays it perfectly. Like, if he runs on, if he sprints on, quarterback notices him. The offensive line notices him. He just kind of like, he's almost in motion. He's just jogging, just kind of jogging. He gets to the position, and the quarterback's going to go, dude, screen left. This is gold. And the offensive line's got to go, screen left, gold, because they don't know he's there. What were you thinking?
Well, it's kind of like, no, gosh, no, dadgummit, you know, it's kind of one of those like, oh, crap, you know, we don't have 11 men on the field, we're late, and all of a sudden, yes, 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 is, you know, like, you know, you kind of wonder, like, Chase is an amazing player, but does he make that play if he's lined up right? You know, it's kind of one of those jokes. That,
or if he sprints like, you know, out there and they notice him. I don't think they even knew he was coming. He was so nonchalant about it, and he got to the position, he basically barely stood, and they snapped it.
Yeah, I'm not sure they could have done anything about it, you know, anyway. I mean, I know they noticed him. He's 6'5", 285. Yes. So he's hard to notice or hard to miss. But, yeah, it's just one of those, you know, fortunate plays. It could have gone the other way. You know, that's certainly not what we're trying to do, is disguise anything. And that was, you know, our coaches said it in staff meetings. Like, that's a mistake. You know, we got to get that cleaned up, you know. But yet, we're very fortunate.
I said this last night with Coach Rizzi and also Clint Kubiak. So you're trying to make this not the Taysom Hill show, so you talk around it, but we have to spend a little time. We'll talk a little bit more with him, with Mike Ball later, about the whole kind of, you know, draft process. But this guy had a fumble and an interception, and we don't talk about it. Like, not even part of the game. I know it ticked him off, and it may, you know, but I mean, I just don't know if you could ask, if you've ever seen a game like that from an individual player.
Well, I can't remember one. If it was, it was probably in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years when Taysom was here.
Right, in Seattle, you know, when he gets, as Clint said, I was like, why out of the blue do we get, you know, Taysom's everywhere. He had the hot hand. You know, sometimes you feel a guy with a hot hand, you roll with it.
Yeah, look, Taysom's, you know, he just embodies the spirit of someone that loves to play. And every time he makes a play, he gets up with that grin. That, man, he was like, you know, if his grin could speak, it's like, man, I love that. That was fun. And it's like every single play. And you know, he's a battler. He's unique. He's a better teammate than he is a player. And that's saying something. So just very fortunate to have him. And you know, we'll get into, you know, the process of how we got him, and we got extremely lucky, and but it's a process, and it goes to show that, you know, those are just moments that you feel pretty confident that our scouting process works.
The Saints Hour will continue with Jeff Ireland here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I do want to go back a little bit, and I remember in camp, I may have talked to Kai about this, but one day in Irvine, it's you and Kai and Parenton. You're away from the field, you know, the action, and you look like you had been in Papillon. Like, I mean, your beard was just, it looked like you hadn't slept. And I was going, and I thought about it, you know, the position injuries that you went through in Irvine, wide receiver, O-line, was so extraordinary. This must have been an enormously challenging camp, one, but out of it, You get guys like Kevin Austin. You got offensive linemen that came in that, you know, that produced, and so the end result is positive. But man, it just felt like the way things happened in Irvine, you guys must have had some late nights.
You know, we didn't have a ton of late nights, which is a credit to our pro staff. They were prepared for, you know, anything and everything that happened out there. Obviously, you go out to Irvine and you don't really expect to have that kind of, you know, those kind of injuries. I mean, there's something, you know, that we've got to get cleaned up in terms of how, you know, why we're getting some of these soft tissue injuries. But, you know, look, there's a great communication, and that's something that comes from Mickey with Kai and Michael and the pro staff and myself and even, you know, our coaching staff, just kind of, you know, what we're looking for. Okay. You know, don't cry over it. It's part of the process, you know, next man up. And that's just kind of the mentality of, you know, what we do is, you know, one guy goes down, you got to be ready to, you know, bring another guy in. No one really cares, you know, and it's just going to stress the team if you don't do it and you don't act quickly. So we're always prepared for those things. And that's just part of it.
And I would think a perfect example of that would be Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's with Buffalo on October 14th. They trade for Amari Cooper. So then Buffalo releases him. You guys scoop him right up. I mean, you needed the help at the position, but still, you know, other teams needed help at the position as well. I mean, is that, you know, take me through that process and how that all worked out for the Saints.
Well, like, I'm going to give the pro staff all the credit. I think I was on the road scouting colleges when that happened. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, the Mike Parenton and his staff, you know, did. And, you know, perfect timing. You know, obviously, you know, when you get trades at the deadline and one player goes to another player or another, so one player goes to another team, that team is probably going to let someone go. And so I'm sure there's a tracking process. They're either going to be heavy. I don't know this. I didn't get any calls, but I'm sure there's trade calls, you know, about MVS, you know, when that happened. And credit our pro team. I mean, that's a player that's helped us immensely in these last two wins.
5 catches, 3 touchdowns, you know, that deep threat when you didn't, you know, when you needed it most. And, you know, wow. The number of Kansas City Chiefs on your teams with Super Bowl rings. And I only say this because they've got to be good character people, because I remember Mike Hodges telling me at camp that Willie Gay could have come in and said, "What are y'all doing? This is insane. This is how we did it at Kansas City, and we've won back-to-back. What are y'all doing?" And he didn't do any of that, right? And they're just good character people. And I don't know Mark West. I haven't had a chance to say hello to him yet, but I just feel like those, Tano, Tyron, Colin, Willie, Mark West, there's a bunch.
They're all super high makeup guys, and they've competed at the highest level, and they've won a lot of games. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Kansas City has moved on from those guys. But you know, we're pretty strict about who we bring on our team. Also, I mean, that's one thing that I know Mickey and I talk a lot about, and well, with our staff, is we got to be very careful to bring, you know, a bad apple into our locker room, because it's the most prized possession that we have. Is our locker room and the character and the culture that we have in the locker room. And, you know, it's quite frankly, the reason we've been able to rebound and win these last two is that our locker room is strong. It's got strong leadership, the makeup and the, just the football character that these guys have. They like to work. I like to come to work. And I think, Mrs. B and Mickey and Dennis Lauscha have provided a place that, you know, that people like to come to work. You know, that's not only players, but staff. And, you know, that's the kind of people we wanted in our building and in our locker room.
Percentage of your day that deals kind of with the current Saints roster, maybe the player out there in the pro world that can make your roster better, waivers, whatever, dealing with pro scouts and then college scouts. I mean, what is, you know, is it 30-30-30? What's the representative balance of kind of what you have to do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I would, you know, look, from in the fall, man, it's 95% college. You know, I'm grinding on college players. I'm on the road scouting. You know, our pro department is well equipped with handling the day-to-day process of finding, you know, pro players from time to time, especially around the trade deadline. I'll watch some, you know, players that we're looking to evaluate, but after the trade deadline is over, you know, my eyes are back on college. I mean, we're literally, there's thousands of players that need to be evaluated. And that's one of the reasons we added to our, you know, our college department. We've added, you know, from a national scout standpoint, we've added, you know, an area scout standpoint, we've added a scouting assistant. I mean, there's just not enough hours in the day to get all the college players evaluated. And so our pro staff handles the pro stuff, and our college staff really kind of handles our college stuff.
More with Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, and College Scouting's Jeff Ireland. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel for the Saints in his 10th year. I got to ask you, you were a kicker at Baylor, Southwest Conference back in the day, went to the East-West Shrine Game, if I'm not right. Am I right on it?
No, Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl. My apologies. So what is going on? Justin Tucker has missed 6 and 11 games. He hadn't missed six or less in any of his seasons. Dustin Hopkins has missed 6 and 10 games, thankfully. Youngway Koo has missed 7. The last two games, kickers in the Superdome are 1 of 7, and I'm including all of Hopkins because quite frankly, Peyton Turner shouldn't have been called for holdings. They're 1 of 7. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, especially from guys who I considered gold. Gold. I can only remember one Youngway Koo miss, and that's when Peyton Turner blocked in 22. I mean, we're talking about Justin Tucker, Hopkins, and Youngway Koo. What am I missing here?
Hey, look, it's more mental. It's more mental than it is physical.
I knew
you know that.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like the 3 foot putt or the 2 foot putt. And once you got the juju in your head, it's there. And, you know, I actually predicted up in the box that Dustin was going to miss this, you know, that third one, just because I could tell that the juju was in his head. And like, I don't know what Rizzi's doing. Rizzi's a special teams guy. He's the one giving him the juju. I don't really know what's going on. You know, he played Atlanta in Atlanta. And I think, Koo was like 5 for 5 in the game winner. And, you know, and then he, you know, kind of doesn't have a great game with us. And then Hopkins, I mean, I don't know, Hopkins coming back to the, you know, to the scene. You know, we had him in camp that year, had him on a roster, and you know, didn't go well that year either. So, you know, who knows? I mean, it's kicking is again, it's very mental. It's tough to get that bad feeling out of your head once it goes in.
On the last Youngway Koo, fourth quarter that could have tied it, the 20-17 kick. So the block early came from the defensive right side, John Ridgeway. So on this kick, he's kicking through the south end zone. All the beef is on the defensive for two Youngway Koo's right. So he's thinking in his head, he's pulled, hooked his first two. He did make one. So now he's like, I see these big hands going up to his right. I've watched the kick 100 times. He starts the ball out like in his head. He goes, I'm just going to slice it in. I'm going to miss those big hands, kick it left, and just kind of like in golf, a nice little fade in. Because if you watch it almost halfway up, you're like, there's no way this ball misses. But he overcooks it. He overslices it. But I think he kicked it that way because of the big hands that were up to his right. Because he'd pulled the other two. So in his head, he's going, I better start this out a little right. So the defense was set up perfectly.
Well, that could be true. You know, I think you're taught to not look at those big hands or where they're at. You just kick the ball. You know, I wasn't able to slice or hook or anything like that. So, you know.
But my story is way better, though, right?
Your story is way better,
yeah,
Mike.
But unfortunately, see, you're actually a kicker. So you know.
I'm a has-been. But, you know, look, it's just you get the ball up. Get the ball up high, get it up quick, hit it straight, and don't worry about the guys in front of you. Let those guys, the big guys, handle those other big guys. And that's what I always taught. And when I was a coach, that's what I taught as well. So, but I like your story.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, that sounds good. Overcooked it, slice, you know, great win. And finally, for Jari, right? I mean, these games, I don't know what, you know, Drew and the rest of those guys being there, and there were a lot of them, and that says a lot about Jari. But you want to win because you want to win for the team. Everyone, it's a team. But getting that win for Jari with his name up in lights with Drew and everybody there, man, special.
Unbelievable special. I mean, that's, you know, and Jari is such a nice guy. And, you know, these guys are legends of the game. And I get to see him every single day in the office with this big smile, this humble attitude, this quiet personality. That's just one of the guys. And then to see the ring on his finger, and he, and then the grin that he had after the game. I got to see him post game
dancing.
I got to, I say, hey, you know what? I said, I have to look at your name with me around, with my arm around you, just to look at it together. And it was just a cool moment. His wife was there with him, but it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I'm glad we got the win, so he'll be able to remember that as a really special moment that we won, and he got his name in lights up on the stadium forever.
Sitting next to Archie Manning up there in the building, also pretty cool. And now, I mean, it's time. I mean, I don't know what they want in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but if you just look, I mean, I don't know what you want. Pro Bowl, All Pro, started 169 of 176 in New Orleans. He was a stalwart. I mean, I don't know what you want. I know guards don't get the, you know, pub that they should, but it's time, right? I mean, it's just time.
It's definitely time. He's so well deserving of it. What he overcame, you know, in a small school to come in here, and be as dominant as he was for as long as he was. I mean, he was dominant for 10 years, or, you know, I know he played more than 10 years, but got me dominant. You know, the Pro Bowl or the Hall of Fame is such timing, you know, it's timing. And it's, you know, who's the first ballot Hall of Famers that are coming in that are just no brainers. And is there three or four of those no brainers? And so he's going to get in. And I think this is the year. And I just hope it. I hope it comes to fruition for him. There's no one is more deserving.
Well, let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, Jeff and I will bring in from the road Mike Ball, longtime national scout for the Saints. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. We are back with Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel. And now we are joined by Mike Ball, the National Scout, 22nd year with the Saints. He's been around the NFL for 32 years. Mike, how you doing, sir?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Good.
Excellent.
So if I walked into your office right now, What's on the walls? White grease board on your walls? What's not names?
I am in the basement here at Oklahoma State. I think I'm in the D line room, and in the next room next, in the room next to me is about four or five scouts, and we're doing our daily tape duty. And I told them I had to slip out and do a conference call. So
you're in Stillwater.
I'm in Stillwater. I was in Columbia, South Carolina yesterday, which is not exactly a straight line of travel, but this time of year we're running out of days, so you kind of have to cover a lot of ground. So
Jeff, what's on the walls in his office? What's on the walls in your office?
On the walls of my office are pictures of family. there's not enough Super Bowl trophies, I can assure you of that. Mike and I, our offices generally are They change on a daily basis, just like Mike said. You know, we're road guys, and you know, I've kind of graduated to maybe a little bit more in the office, but Mike's been in these shoes before, and but he's a road dog now, so his office changed on a daily basis.
So, Mike, give me a sense of what that is at this time of year. You've got colleges wrapping up, going towards the football playoff. You've got the FCS playoffs coming, and then the bowl games, the playoff 12, the All-Star games. Is this the quintessential busiest time of the year?
I guess we're kind of routine-oriented in this business, and for the last 30 years, you can kind of just say, I probably did the same thing at the same time on the calendar. So the fall starts 1st August or so, and it's 16 weeks of Marriott hotels, Chick-fil-A, and Cracker Barrel. Okay. I like to call them my NIL sponsors. Okay. And I go to about 45, 50 schools. And as the national guy, I go from Denver, Colorado, and I get to see the best players in the country. I get SEC country, Big 12 country, and ACC country. And you hit them all, and I get about 4 or 5 repeats. So I was at South Carolina yesterday, which was the second time in. They got a nice team this year. And I'm at Oklahoma State for the first and only time, and I'll be at OU tomorrow. And I'll go home for the weekend, and I'll be at Oregon on Monday.
And the national scouts split into zones, if you will?
Yeah, so we just added a third national scout. When Cody went to Denver, we elevated kind of Ryan Powell to a national scout, moved him over from pro to college, which is what Mike Ball has done in his career, and it's been very successful for us. Ryan, you know, lives in New Orleans, and so he kind of took over some national scout responsibilities, and then Terry Wooden, who really kind of has the same area that he has. But Mike, I know Mike's been doing it again a long time, and so Mike's kind of my over the top. So I have a question for Mike Ball.
Yes, sir. Please.
So, Mike, you've been doing it a long time. What are some of the players that you scouted and drafted that you're most proud of, like the process and how it, you know, the first time you saw him, you know, the meeting process, the, you know, the day you drafted him, his career, you know, just go ahead.
The first thing I want to say is I don't want to make this a look at me moment, because everything we do is collaborative. Like if you were to pull up in the database any of the names I'm about to give you, there's 5 or 6 reports on every guy. There's an extensive meeting process and interview process. But that being said, when you're the area guy, you take special ownership in the area. It's kind of like your sales area, you know, if you're selling widgets. And just kind of going back in time, my Saints career, I was a pro guy at the Saints for quite a while. And then when I came back from the Dolphins, my area was kind of Big 12, SEC country. And I remember going into small school in Arkansas Pine Bluff, and got to see Taron Armstead for the first time. And, you know, that's a pick I'm really proud of, that came from my little area. And I mean, that kid was a good pro here for 10 years. And it took every bit of scouting to take the small school guy, project him forward. The first thing I always say, just being from Louisiana, you know, spend my time in Louisiana, is would this guy start at LSU? Okay. And I said, yes, this guy would start at LSU. Okay. And then I say, you know, what would this guy be with Power 5 resources, you know, with the programs they have there. And so to get that kid in the third round, that was pretty exciting. That was one I'm proud of. I was living in Miami when we drafted Jimmy Graham. And that was another one that was hard, because at that time, Jimmy going into it, he played, you know, obviously we all know the story now, as a basketball player, but he had like 10 catches that year. I mean, so it's not like it was a 2-foot putt that you were going to say, we're going to take this big athlete and he's going to be a generational talent at tight end. But I think it turned out better and happened faster than any of us thought it would. Those are two from my days as an area scout that I'm particularly proud of.
Does anybody remember, and I'm just curious because now the time has passed.
Yes.
What the discussion was in after the 2016 of a kid out of BYU named Taysom Hill, right? Was it, he had medical red shirt, ton of yards running and passing, but you know,
I remember it well.
He wasn't on the field. I mean, was he in the, was he a part of discussions?
I mean, that was my area at the time. And heck, I remember going out to clear as day, you know, BYU's a it's almost like an academy. It's a really cool place. You know, a bunch of high character kids that are smart and tough. And I remember walking out there and the team was singing happy birthday to him, you know, that the day I was there. And you don't see that. It was really cool. But you know, Taysom's career, you know, he had, I can't remember what the medical was, but it was pretty tough. It was not an easy thing, but really Taysom made his name at the Saints on his pro day, because his if you go on the internet and just type Taysom Hill pro day numbers, it was unbelievable. And, you know, obviously he signed with the Packers, and really the credit for this guy coming to the Saints is going to go to the pro department. But I remember the pro day, and I remember calling Jeff going, hey, there's an alternate vision for this player. And, you know, there's a H-back, you know, whatever he's become. Remember Cordell Stewart back in the day at the Steelers?
New Orleanian.
Same kind of thing. I've actually got one this year, but I'm not going to tell you about it until we get him on our team right now. There, I've got Taysom Hill Part 2 out here in the country somewhere. But the it was the pro day that made Taysom and confirmed the athlete. It was a really tough evaluation because he was just snake bit so much. And to see him be a 34-year-old veteran now with a 10-year career, I'm really happy for the kid, because I mean it was a good story, you know, and it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's, you know, like you said, Mike, you kind of transitioned to the pro department. You know, so what we do from, you know, with cuts is we project the players that are going to be released. And so we have projected on the Green Bay Packers that, and this is a really good job that Terry Fontenot did, is he projected that they're going to cut him. And so he had me and a couple other guys look at him, you know, in the office. And I remember, you can look at my report that I wrote on as a pro report. I said, this might be Steve Young. Like, I mean, I liked him as a quarterback, you know, even if he only played, you know, 50 or 60 snaps for Green Bay, but the way he ran the ball, he looked like Steve Young and big and breaking tackles. And then I remember Mike telling me, hey, look, there's an alternate vision here. And so we really kind of sold that player to Sean that, you know, hey, look, this guy's a quarterback. Number one, we felt like he was a quarterback. Number one. And number two, this guy might be Steve Young, you know, like he's able to run the ball. And how he transformed into what we have today is our coaching staff. You know, Mike and I, we kind of wipe our hands, dust our hands off, you know, once they get to the coaching staff and you know, Westhoff and Sean. And I just remember going in the staff meeting one day, and we lost a couple of players on the special teams. And Sean goes, well, you know, you think that, you know, we could bring up Taysom, because he'd been active for the most part. And what about Taysom? You know, I think he could run down on a kickoff. And I'm like, hasn't been seen, you know, in a long time, that a quarterback on your roster is going to run down on kickoff. And then Mike goes, well, heck, he could be my personal protector, you know, and then he can also, you know, he can also return, you know, return. It was like, it just kind of started taking on a life of its own. And, you know, we called him Red Grange and Jim Thorpe and, you know, every name in the, you know, in the book in terms of just versatility. Kind of really cool story. So that's another really cool scouting moment, that a player that we did not get our hands on initially, but the process of what we do and how we do it comes to fruition. Pretty cool.
Mike Ball, are you related at all to Laura Ball?
No, no Laura Ball, no Sammy Ball.
That was my next question, Sammy Ball. So he plays 16 years in the NFL. He's a quarterback. He's a tailback. He's a defensive back. He led the NFL in punting for 4 years. He said, money didn't mean much to me. I did it for the football. I went down this rabbit hole with Taysom Hill and Sammy Ball. Wow.
Yeah, you know, the whole Taysom story, just as a scout, is inspiring because, I mean, I'm the guy that always says, well, we could take this 275-pound Division III nose tackle and make him a fullback, and we call them projections in our business, and it's really a great way to end up in an alternate career. But what it is it's inspiring, is that you have to be creative sometime with your vision on these players. And, you know, Jeff talks about Taysom coming to our roster, And it starts with the college process. We hand it off to the pro guys, and Jeff will call it a historical document. And, you know, if my little report helped lead to that player getting here via an alternate route, you know, it's kind of inspiring to walk into a place and have an alternate vision for a player. And like I said, I've got a kid that's kind of like Taysom this year. And like I said, I'll keep it to myself for right now.
Just keep teasing us and teasing us.
No, next time I see you in the spring, Mike, I'm going to see if you figured it out. Okay. But it's inspiring to see a player differently. And, you know, that's just part of being creative. And that's, I think, I'll just speak for myself. It's a trait I have that you could take in any field, just a creative vision, whether we're selling widgets or, you know, making photocopiers, just a different way to view the process. And I think that's important. And it's, you know, so probably makes me annoying to hear in the meetings sometimes. No. But
I think it's the journey. It's, to me, it's always about the process. It's always about the journey. So be safe, continue success. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you, sir.
And Jeff, thanks. Just keep this thing going, man. It's an uplifting part of the city, and I know what it is for the building. So take some time off, catch your breath, and then just get that momentum back for the Rams.
Will do, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Next on the Saints Hour, we'll talk Super Bowl and a very impressive Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation luncheon this Friday with Jay Cicero. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Hour. We're now joined by Jay Cicero, CEO and president of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, as well as the New Orleans Super Bowl host committee. Lots on your plate. We'll begin with the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation's annual luncheon this Friday on the floor of the Superdome. First off, I've been to the event many times. It's got a great dais, and it's got some great honorees this year.
It really is, Mike, and it's the Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon that we actually started 5 or 6 years ago. We took a couple years off for COVID, but its intent for the Sports Foundation is to bring the business community together to understand what the Sports Foundation's role is and all the great events that we are working on, not only bidding upon, but managing on behalf of the economic benefit of the state and the city. So this year is a very special show. It's the Super Bowl edition of the Honors Luncheon, and we are inducting Tom and Gail Benson into the Sports Foundation Hall of Fame. Well, we have a special guest who is doing that for us up on stage, and that's Commissioner Roger Goodell. So we're excited to have the commissioner in town for this. He will honor and remember Tom Benson and honor Miss Gail Benson and her leadership, not only in the NFL, but here locally. We will also have a large report by Marcus Brown, the chair of the Super Bowl host committee, and he'll be joined by Anna Isaacson from the NFL. And they will go over all the community engagement opportunities that have happened since we started working heavily on this about year and a half ago. And we're going to end the show with a panel discussion based on the history of Super Bowl in New Orleans and what to look forward to in 2025. We've invited two former senior vice presidents of special events for the NFL, Jim Steig and Frank Sapovitz, and the current person in that role for the league, Peter O'Reilly. And so Jim Steig did 5 Super Bowls here in New Orleans. Frank Sapovitz did the last one, 2013. He also did the opening of the Superdome reopening of the Superdome back in 2006 and the NFL kickoff event after the Saints won the Super Bowl. And so we've got some interesting stories, some great video, some great photos, and some really great people that are going to be involved with this year's event.
It's important that because it's about the honorees, but it's always, and you and I have talked about this, reminding people that this just doesn't happen. right? There's a ton of people involved and volunteers that you need and money and support and the state help. I mean, you always need to be kind of tapping on the shoulder and go, hey, we're here.
That's right. Once Super Bowl is done, I wouldn't say we turn back into a pumpkin, but we need to make sure that the business community and the legislature and elected officials understand that the Sports Foundation is still here. We've been around for 36 years, and we're moving on to the next major event we will have attracted. And then we'll be working on getting Super Bowl back at some point in time. So focusing in on the next 3 months for the Super Bowl and making sure that we are providing the service that is necessary to the league, to the state, to the city, to our elected officials, to our business community, to our partners, to ASM, to the convention center, everybody that we work with in this huge collaboration. It is important that we provide this service as the host committee staff.
Without being specific, how far out does your bid calendar go? Like there's an event in 20 blank, right, that you're looking at. How far out does it go?
We're probably at 2032 right now.
That's not a real year. Come on.
It is. I know. That's only eight years from now. But some organizations bid out that far. As you get closer within that time range, there are more events that are available for bid. So, I will not go into specifics because we do not want our competitors to know what we're bidding on and what we're looking at. But there are events for 2025, 2026, 2028, 2031. And potentially 2032 that we are working on right now, maybe one for 2029. We're constantly out there trying to fit that puzzle together.
As we kind of turn a little bit towards the Super Bowl, it's been an experience for me because I'm doing it from inside the Superdome now and as part of the public relations committee. And it's been so eye-opening of how things kind of have changed. Then maybe we'll go back to 2013, right? Last Super Bowl here. Like there was an event with influencers, social media influencers here. And most recently, media from across the globe, Kelly Schultz and New Orleans and company and everybody, the whole really hospitality industry, to get reporters kind of in early, see what's going to happen and have them be able to tell the story before the story.
That's absolutely true. And New Orleans & Company, Kelly and Mary Beth Romig, giving tours of the Dome, there was so many aspects to coordinate. They did a really good job of heading this up. It's 26 international media members doing a pre-site visit. A lot of them have never been to New Orleans, which was pretty cool. Some of them had never been to the United States, so that was kind of cool. But that's just one big aspect for one of our larger committees that is working towards preparing for the 2 weeks leading into the Super Bowl and the messaging and the stories that need to be told and that we want to tell. But we have 16 working committees. Marcus Brown, who is the chair of the Super Bowl Host Committee and the general counsel for Entergy Corporation, has assigned some pretty remarkable chairs and co-chairs to this host committee. And all 16 committees are pretty active and working heavily now. So it's a machine, and we've got a train rolling, and hopefully we can keep it on the tracks over the next 3 months.
How do people get involved? It's always how we kind of close. I mean, I know Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation.org, GNOSF.org, because people always ask, how do I get involved? Is that the best place to start?
That is. And the Sports Foundation is a membership program, much like a Chamber of Commerce membership program that for sports fans or fans that are just or folks that are just interested in what we do with major events. There's always volunteer opportunities, although we closed out most of the volunteer opportunities for Super Bowl already. But there's we want people to kind of be involved with us year round and after the Super Bowl. So reaching out to us to see find ways to get involved is always something that we encourage. And it's genosports.com is our website. And we encourage people to go there and check out all the things we're working on and all the things that we're trying to accomplish.
Can't wait for Friday. Look forward to it. Thanks for your help. Thanks for all that you do. And thanks for everything that the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation does. And we'll see you Friday. It's going to be a great day.
Thank you, Mike.
That's our show. Thanks to Charlie Long for his work in the booth. It's a bye week. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.